And it is so good to see everybody who's with us here in person. I also want to welcome those joining us online. Appreciate that you're with us, and as well as our Westside campus. Thank you for being here as well. As we get started this morning, I want you to know I'm kind of curious, because I know how I think, but I want to ask you a question. Be as honest as you can. How many of you would admit that there's at least one aspect of your physical body that you would change if you could? How many here? I think it's been 100% just about in every service. Now, in case you're wondering, since I asked you if there'd be something, mine, if I would change something, maybe it would be my hair or the lack thereof of hair as it gets less and less. You know, the Bible says that God actually has all the hairs of our head counted. He knows the number of them. And it's pretty obvious that in the past few years, he's been able actually to reassign at least two of the five angels originally assigned to me to count the hairs, because they don't need to count that much anymore. So I'd like for you to hang on to that thought, because we're going to revisit it shortly, not my hair loss, but what you would change, the fact that you would change something about your physical body. We're in a three-week series called Reset. And when I mention the word reset, I think it's a concept that we really should be very familiar with in the 21st century. And that's because, honestly, in life, resets are necessary and vital. They happen all of the time, and sometimes in complex ways, sometimes in really simple ways. And that's because life has a tendency to drift or to shift. And we have to kind of get things back the way they need to be. One example of that would be just driving your car. If you just let your car ride on the road, it's going to drift off. It's eventually going to, you know, not go the way you want it to. So you're going to have to kind of reset it back to where it needs to go. Most of us are familiar as we work with computers and electronics. They either work really good or they don't work at all. And sometimes our computers have to have a reset. We call that sometimes a reboot. And I just think it's kind of funny, anytime I have an issue with the functioning of my laptop computer, the very first thing the IT team tells or asks me when I say I've got a problem, they said, did you reboot your computer yet, or did you reset it? And so resets are necessary and vital. And we're talking about that because I think there are at least two good reasons for the church to do a reset, reasons why we need to do that. Now, I want to say, if you're here today just kind of checking out ACC, or maybe you're here just kind of checking out this faith thing, I want you to know the message today is really addressing those in our church family. And so you can kind of listen in and see what it's like when you're a part of this, what the expectations are, because that's what we're really going to hit on today. And two reasons why the church needs to do a reset. First of all, obviously, would have to be just the COVID chaos that we've been through over the last year and a half or so. I think it's really kind of gotten things out of rhythm in a number of different ways. And that can happen from intentional isolation that we've had to do sometimes, to social distancing where we really don't know how to be close to people or do those things. COVID has definitely created some discombobulation of our lives. And so sometimes we need a reset. And obviously the church has been impacted by this. Now, I want you to know, across the city and the state and even across the country, I'm hearing that in most churches, attendance is only running at about 50 to 60% of what it was in pre-COVID numbers. And that's kind of where we're right at right now. And just to let you know, from my perspective, from where we were pre-COVID, probably 25% of the people who used to call this church home, they're just kind of gone. Either they wandered away or some of them moved. We had a lot of people during COVID who decided, hey, I can work from another place, and so we're going to move. And so that has happened as well. I think there's another 25% or so that are still in kind of limbo, deciding if they can come back or if they are going to come back. And the same is true really for our Connect groups, as well as many of our volunteer and serving positions, which we're going to talk about. So really, the COVID chaos has caused a reason for a reset. I think there's another reason why we need a reset, and that has to do with what I would say is our consumeristic tendencies in this country. You know, we're built on an economy that kind of promotes and builds up consumerism. And what's interesting is the example that I'm about to provide of this consumeristic mindset may be a challenge this morning for at least some of you to connect with. And that's because what I'm discovering is that my kids and my grandkids aren't as familiar with TV commercials as my generation is. And that's because a lot of them don't see real any TV commercials. They get lots of advertisements, but they're streaming everything and say they don't see this. So I'm going to need everybody to kind of jump in. I'm going to mention a tagline that somebody came up with to get us to be consumers and see if you can identify the business behind it. So this first one, you're going to have to go a little far back here in your mind. Someone once said as a tagline in their advertisement, have it your way. Good job. You're the best for Burger King there. Some Burger King fans here. This one's going to apply a little bit more probably to the ladies that are with us this morning. Because I'm worth it. L'Oreal, that's right, because I'm worth it. This one should fit in a military town like this. Be all that you can be. The Army, the U.S. Army, you bet. And then this one people have a little bit of trouble with. I love what you do for me. Toyota. I love what you do for me, Toyota. You guys missed that one too. But it's all about what they, you know, what we're getting. And I think that's interesting because, you know, now when people are actually looking for a new church home, we identify that now as what? Church shopping, that people are actually looking for a church. And as consumers, people are often looking for a church that meets their needs and their wants. And that's okay on a certain level, but if we aren't intentional, we can easily drift into making the church to be only about what we want it to be rather than about what God designed it to be. And I wish I had really could give credit for this quote, but I thought it really hit the nail on the head. It's in your sermon notes. It says, somewhere along the way, many of us have bought into the lie that we need to evaluate church by what we get out of it. And honestly, we hope you get something out of it, but we got to be careful that that's our only evaluation because that's not Christianity, that is consumerism. And part of being in a consumeristic culture really will mean that it'll influence us sometimes to only look what fits our lifestyle and our needs rather than what fulfills the purpose of Christ. And that's not any blame there because it's really not our fault, but it can become our default. And when it does, that's when we need to do a reset. So I think we need to do a little bit of a reset there. Because there is nothing wrong with receiving from the church as long as you also become a contributor to it. And that's honestly why each time of year like this in July, we always attempt to do a bit of a reset and help people go back to where we need to go. Now, I want you to know my personal goal as a leader here at the church is that we could hopefully get so that at least 75% of those who call ACC their church home are providing some type of service within the church. Now, some of you are thinking, 75%, shouldn't it be a little bit higher than that? Well, I think there's 25% or so. We've just got to realize that there are seasons when that might not be possible. Sometimes it's an age thing or maybe a stage of life. Maybe there's an illness or a family situation. And so there are times when people have to take a break. And if you're there right now, I don't want you to feel guilty about that at all. I do want you to know we're right at about 50% coming out of COVID. So we've got to work some work to do. And that's why our goal during this series is to provide a clear on-ramp for you for serving because that's literally the way God designed his church to function. And so as Pastor Dave said last week, we're going to try to help you get your serve on in these few weeks that we'll spend focusing on this. Now, you've got to know that a majority of time during the year, we're going to encourage you not to necessarily serve here, but to be in service to our community outside of the church. Because one of our priorities is to impact our community and the world with the message of Christ and his love. But in this season, we're going to make it a point to ask you to hopefully find a place to serve within the church. And I want to be clear, that's not so that we can be selfish or because we're just self-centered, but it's because if our church isn't healthy, then we're not going to really be able to serve others. How many of you have sat on an airplane and listened real intently to all the instructions at the beginning, the part where they're telling you about the seatbelt putting on and the life vest and stuff? Do any of you ever really even listen to that? Because I look around on the plane, and most people are, you know, reading their texts or doing something else. But I bet at least once you've caught the statement where they'll say, when that oxygen mask comes down in front of you, what are you supposed to do first? Put it on yourself before you try to help those that are around you, maybe the kids or whatever. And really what they're saying is if you're not breathing well, you're not going to be able to help other people. And that's really what we're trying to say is if we're not healthy as a church, we're not going to be effective in reaching our community the way that we need to. And I just want to let you know, honestly, I never really feel guilty about asking people to get involved in serving the church, because I already know that those who bless others by their service, they're going to be blessed in some amazing ways too. It actually is really a win-win. And so we need to recognize if we're going to do a reset of the church, it's going to require a solid biblical orientation. And that's really why we have that tagline in our promo there that says a new old way of doing things. Because when you're resetting, you're kind of bringing it back. It might seem new, but it actually is the old way of doing things. We're kind of resetting to the manufacturer's specifications. And I've got to let you know, one of the things the Bible is very clear on is this. The church belongs to Christ and serves his purposes. And so that, I just want you to know, is kind of the framework from which we're going to be building this case. The church belongs to Christ and serves his purposes, not necessarily ours. Now, in case this needs any clarification, I want you to remember that Jesus actually identifies that the church belongs to him from several different angles. One of those is found in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where he finally recognized that his disciples recognized him as the Messiah. And when they said, we believe that you're the Messiah, basically he said this, on this rock I will build whose church? He says, my church, I'm going to build my church. This is my church. And it is his church for a number of reasons, but one of them, he says, is because he actually paid for the church with his own blood. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul was writing to the elders of the church there, and he said, you need to be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. That's why it serves his purposes. And then finally, his position actually is identified as the head of the church. And the head, that means he's supposed to be in charge, that he's supposed to call the shots. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, where Paul uses this analogy again. Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, what you and I have to recognize is that if the church isn't accomplishing its true purpose and fulfilling its role in this world like it was intended to, it's likely because maybe we've turned the church into what we want it to be rather than seeking to make it what Christ wants it to be. And so we're going to examine this week and next a couple of the biblical metaphors to actually give us a picture of how the church is to function according to God's design, that reset back to the manufacturer's specifications. And the thing we're going to look at today is what I would just call a basic biblical analogy, and that is that the church is like a body. The church is like a body. I think it's amazing how God designed the church to be able to transcend time and cultures and fads and eras. And that's because it's patterned after some timeless designs. One of those just happens to be a body. Now, a body isn't the only analogy that describes the church in its totality, but I think it's a very helpful one from a human point of view because all of us, I believe, happen to inhabit a body. If anybody's here without your body, would you let us know? Now, everybody's here with a body. And I think that should help provide us with a good context for what Christ has in mind for the church. And that brings us to the passage of scripture we're going to look at today, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 25. There's really more in here that we could read about it, but we're going to narrow it down to this just for time's sake. But I want you to listen to this incredible explanation of the church being like a body. Here's what Paul says. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. That's what he's talking about the church here. And then he says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Now, we read over that, and it really doesn't impact us very much. But back in Paul's day, I think they would have been scratching their heads a little bit because they're like, what, Jews and Gentiles, slave and free? They can all be one body? Yes, he says, because we were all given that one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And now if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body, obviously. Because if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are less or that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. And then he says, while our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. One of the reasons I think God chose to provide us with this particular analogy is because it should provide us a context to understand the church, because we live in a physical body. And one of the things we know about our physical bodies is that the body works best when each part does its work. I mean, when your body is functioning the way it was designed, it's awesome. Now, another question I have for you today, how many of you have ever suffered a broken bone, had a broken bone in your body? Wow, that's a lot. About 10 years ago, I broke my humerus bone in my arm, and it's a misnomer. There was nothing humorous about breaking that arm. Very painful, but really my arm was out of commission, and it lessened what I could do. You've experienced that. Some of you here, and we don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have needed surgery maybe to repair a part of your body that wasn't working or replace a part of your body that wasn't working? And it's hard when the body, all the parts are not doing their work. Well, if you understand that, then you have an idea of what it's like within the context of the church. See, any church that is functioning in a healthy way is one where everybody that belongs to the body does their part when possible. And the Apostle Paul talks about that again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, the image of the body coming out again. It says, from him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. And folks, there's an amazing synergistic effect when the parts of the body work together. That's why I think God uses that analogy. Now, an example of this synergy could be demonstrated in how the hand is much more effective when it works together than the five fingers working independently. Now, someone I came across decided to test this theory using some weights, some dumbbells to check at that. And they want to determine the maximum number of pounds that each of their fingers could lift independently. Now, I think they had kind of weak fingers, because for them it was only 2 pounds that each finger could lift. That was the limit. But when they tested the capacity of their fingers working together as a hand, they tried to rationalize that 5 fingers times 2 pounds would yield 10 pounds, but you know what they discovered is that they actually lifted 35 pounds when the hand worked together. That's the power of synergy, and that's why God wants the church to work together like a body. And a body has many different parts. And so here's an obvious truth. A healthy functioning body requires many different parts. And what that means is there's a part and a place for all of us to be able to serve. Verse 14 said, even though the body is not made of one part, but of many. And you know, just our human bodies again. There are parts of our human bodies that are vital to what we're doing, but you and I might not even be aware of them. I actually came across a couple of them I wasn't aware of. In a surprising discovery of a new body part, researchers actually found a previously unknown layer in the human eye called the Dewar's layer. And it's down there behind the cornea. You can see the line pointing to it down at the bottom of the picture there. This thin, tough structure dubbed Dewar's layer after its discoverer, is just 15 microns thick, or 1/1,000,000th of a meter thick, and it sits behind the cornea. But it's important. What researchers discovered is that it protects the eye from diseases that have occurred if there's ever been a tear or an injury to this layer of the eye. That's a part of the body that we don't even think about, but that we need. Another one that I wasn't aware of is called the floating hyoid bone, hyoid, H-Y-O-I-D. And I didn't know I had one of those. It's a horseshoe-shaped bone in the throat that's situated between the chin and the thyroid cartilage. And this hyoid bone that I'd never heard of before is actually foundational to speech, and it works with the larynx and the tongue to produce a range of human vocalizations. See, what Paul was saying is so true. It's true of the human body. He's trying to get us to recognize it's true of the body of Christ. In verse 20, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, remember that question that I said we would revisit about some of us not necessarily liking each part of our body, that we might change it if we wanted to? Well, here's the rub when it comes to the body of Christ. God gets to design the body the way he wanted it to be. And some of you might say, well, I wish I had this person's gift or that person's gift, or I was like this person or that person. But in verse 18, it's very clear. It says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And you know, the rub has to do with the fact that we often sometimes don't appreciate or even agree with God's design. Now, I'm going to take us back to the human body for just a moment. I'm going to pick on the ladies again just a little bit, because here's what I've come across. I had three sisters growing up, and I've interacted with a lot of women. And here's what I've discovered, is that women with curly hair wish they had straight hair. Women with straight hair wish they had curly hair. And they're like, God, why didn't you give me the hair that I needed? And I think kind of he did. But sometimes we're like that in the church too. God, why didn't you give me that person's gift or make me like that person? The point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make in this passage of Scripture is that you would never imagine what's happening in the church body to happen in the human body. But it'll happen in the church if we aren't careful. Because what I've noticed is the tendency is to feel either undervalued or extra important based on where our gifts roll in. And so we find people being either insecure about where they get to serve, or they start to become a little pompous. And we get an example of that in verse 15, where it says, now if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. A little bit insecure with where they're at. But it can go the other direction as well. In verse 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The eye desperately needs the hand. And in the human body, it understands this. And what that reminds me of is that we need to be grateful for and value each part of the body of Christ, just like we do our own physical bodies. Now, I just want to let you know what that means is we don't need everyone in the church doing the same thing. We actually need lots of people doing lots of different things. And we need to make sure that we value and that we appreciate the differences that God brings to the body of Christ. That's why in verse 25 it says the body parts should actually have equal concern for each other, because we all work together. Now, you know, the part that I get to play in the church probably seems pretty important, because I get up to preach and teach and get to communicate. But you know, one of the things I realize is that there are so many other parts of the body that make what I do possible. And it helps remind me, really, that it's not about me. It's never about me. It's all about the church body working together. Because if you think about it, on a Sunday morning, I don't get up to speak until about halfway through the service. And that means that there are a bunch of experiences that people have before I ever even say a word that either help prepare people to listen or maybe distract them from hearing anything because they had a bad experience. And that comes from people who've helped prepare the building so that it's clean and ready to go on Sunday mornings, to folks that are out in the parking lot helping us out there now because our parking's so crazy, to greeting people at the door, to handing out bulletins, picking up communion cups, not to mention students and children's ministry. There are so many parents that are grateful on Sunday morning to walk in and give people their kids and say, you watch them for, you know, an hour and I'll come back maybe and get them later.
depending on how that day was, and our worship team, our Connect group leaders, and so many more. I mean, it takes a lot. It literally takes hundreds of people serving each week for this church to be a healthy, vibrant body. And that brings me to a statement I've made often before in the church, and that is that impression without expression can lead to depression. I've been trying to impress upon you the need for everybody to be a part of the body. And if I don't provide you with some kind of expression, I don't want any of you to experience any depression. I am so grateful for the many parts of this church body who serve so faithfully week in and week out. So if you already have a place to serve, kudos to you. Because if you're already serving somewhere, no matter how insignificant your service might seem, it is important. I think about people in our church like Leanne, and she's a lead teacher in the toddlers and two-year-olds, and man, that can be some weeks a real blessing, other days it's a train wreck with two-year-olds, you know. She has served in the little area, the kids area, consistently through COVID-19, continues to care for and inspire other leaders. I think about Steve, a guy named Steve, who serves behind the scenes in children's ministry, building some of the structures for Vacation Bible School, and spends hours serving the tech needs of our kids' choir. Or I can think of Cindy, who serves in women's ministry and is always eager to help in any way possible. She's the first to volunteer when there are retreats or teas or other social activities. She teaches a Bible study and loves to care for other women. I think about a couple, Jeff and Lisa, who carry one of the big loads in the People First ministry, making sure that people in the service are both welcomed and are assisted with seating and being served. Even over on the Westside campus, I think about Ben and Mark, who've stepped up to serve in student ministry after a staff transition. And so if you're already serving, this isn't to say, oh, you got to do more, but just to say, hey, keep it up. But I do want to say, if you're not serving, and you could be, and remember, and you could be, it's a season where you could, the effectiveness of this church body, if you're not, is going to be diminished. You know, on the Northside campus here alone, we have at least 32 openings for children's ministry that we're chipping away at because our kids are a priority. We have our function and follow-up team, and eventually we're going to have to rebuild the communion team because there will come a day when we'll pass a tray again. Remember, like we used to, we'll reset back to that. And we need people to make coffee on Sunday morning. Would anybody like coffee to return here on Sunday mornings at the church? Okay, a few faithful. By 11 o'clock, you've already had lots, so maybe you don't like it as much as the 8 o'clock and the 9:30 people. But we're going to need help in our parking assist team because, again, we've got a lot going on with construction. We could use literally another 45 people to fill slots in those areas. The church body needs everyone. And so if you notice in your program today, there's this insert that kind of outlines a number of different places to serve. No matter what your gift is, there's a place to serve. You can also visit one of our tables in the foyer at both of our campuses. There'll be tables. And I want to encourage you, don't just sit back and be passive. Be intentional. And for those of you that are joining us online today, you can go to our website or to the app, and you'll find a way to fill out a form and sign up for that as well. And I just, again, encourage you, don't worry. You don't need to do everything. But you do, if you're able, need to do something. In fact, we're not looking for somebody who does everything, but it would be helpful if everyone just did something. Because God chose the metaphor of the body to describe how the church is supposed to work together. Because he chose that, here's what I know. You, every one of you, were designed to make a difference in the body of Christ. Your life can have an impact. And you know what? It's an impact that God already has in mind for you. And you know, the reason I know that is because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are God's handiwork." Now, that's us personally, but it's also the church corporately. And he says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's already got the list. He's already gifted you and given you a place to serve. And so God really already has a list of good works prepared in advance specifically for you. The question is, are you going to complete them? And we hope in these 3 weeks that you'll have an opportunity to start chipping away at that list if you're not already. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for you describing the church to us in the analogy, the metaphor of a body, because we can see that. We can feel it. We live in it. We know what it means when the body works together and each part does its work. Father, may that be a part of just the motivation, the conviction that we get. I don't want it to be about guilt for anybody, Father, but motivation and conviction that really there's a place and a space where everyone can serve and make a difference, and the body can be healthy and function the way you want it to and serve the purposes of Christ in our community. So God, move us where we need to go to be able to get there. I ask and pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.